This audio presentation is a teaching of Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope, East Hawaii. In his message titled Love Practically, Pastor Scott gives a Valentine's Day message on ways you can strengthen your love life in a godly way. This message was recorded on Sunday, February 14th, 2016. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Well, good morning, New Hope. I'd like to congratulate John and Amy, 31 years. And Grant and Tracy, how many years? 29. Man, makes me feel like a baby. I'm only 25. Anybody else celebrating an anniversary today? Oh, yeah, me. Anybody else? Just us three was romantic enough to get married on Valentine's Day. Yeah, well, man, compared, like, Pastor Alex, you guys are, what, 40-something years? And I thought I was married for a long time. And when I hear these guys like 30, 40 plus years, I'm thinking like, wow, I am just a baby within this marriage thing compared to them. And, you know, I've been married now today is 25 years. And I got to say, man, I really, really super duper love my wife. I really, really do. And it's like, she is just the ultimate when it comes to that part of the vows where it says for better or for worse. Because she put up with the worst. She put up with the worst, and hopefully now it's the better. You know what I mean? And it's like, she loved me through my darkest days, and the more I fall in love with God, the more I fall in love with my wife. And when you see her, just tell her thank you for, because if she hadn't done what she did and sticking with me, I would no way be here. And if I didn't have her support, I still wouldn't be here. But I just want to tell you that being able to have a wife like that and being able to be a part of this church, I am the most blessed man in the world, because I love all of you. I get to serve you. You guys love all of me. And I mean, who could ask for anything more than a fellowship like this, and a wife and a family? And if your spouse is here next to you this morning, thank them. And if your spouse is not here, then continue to pray for them and be Jesus to them and love them and pray for them. And one day they'll be worshiping God right next to you, and you'll be like, this is wonderful. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you open it up to the book of Ruth? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then it comes Joshua, Judges, and then Ruth. I want to read part of that story to you, because the story of Ruth is one of those books of the Bible that really grabs my attention and gets a hold of my heart. Now in Ruth, okay, it was a time back in the Old Testament when there were judges. They didn't have kings yet. They had judges. People would be appointed by God, and they would govern the people. And it was a time when there was a great famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to Moab because there was no food in Bethlehem, so he moved his family, him and his wife and his two sons. So the man's name was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. There were Ephratites of Bethlehem, and they entered the land of Moab, which is a foreign land, and because they went there because there was food. back in those days, if you didn't have food, you would go where the food is. It's like Sundays after church, you guys go that way because the food is over there. You guys don't come up here because there's no food up here, maybe only spiritual food, but they go where the food is. So Elimelech, Naomi's husband, he died there, and she was left with her two sons, and the two sons took for them Moabite women, and one was Orpah, and the other was Ruth, and they lived in that land because they had food for like 10 years, okay? Now, the sad part is both Mahlon and Chilion, they both died. So now it was his mom and two daughter-in-laws. And, you know, back then, if you didn't have that, the men to provide, it was a difficult time. So then she got up and with her daughters-in-law, and she said, "You know what, girls? You really should consider going back to your home country because there's nothing for you here with me. My son's died." And so she said, "Go and go back to your house," because in the hope that they could go back to their home country and find somebody and get remarried. And because she said, "Well, I'm kind of old to have children, and if I did, would you wait for them to grow up and marry them?" And they said to her, "No, we want to go with you." But she kept persistently saying, "Return, go. Why should you stay with me? Because it's like for them it would have been a dead end. Return, my daughters, go, for I am old and I'm too old to have a husband." So they lifted up their voices and they wept, they cried. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. And may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." And think of that. She had every opportunity to go back to her own. It's like if you went to the mainland and all of your family died and you had nothing there. "I'm going to go back to Hawaii because that's where my family, that's where my culture is." But she said, "No, where you go, so, Mom, where you go, I'm going to stick by your side." And I think, like, wow, that is such loyalty. And the story of Ruth is such a story of love, devotion, loyalty, and commitment. And I thought, like, wow, what a great story for us to hear on a day like this where we celebrate love and, you know, we send flowers. It's just a wonderful thing to share because we see the love that Ruth had for Naomi. It's like, "Man, I'm going to stick by your side." And it's such a good thing for us to understand because as husband and wife, we got to stick by each other's side, right? And for the practical thing about this, number one, we need to support one another through thick and thin. I've seen people, when the water gets hot, they dig out. They bail. When things get tough, they run away. They abandon their marriage. And it's sad. But when it got tough for Ruth, she got tougher and she made a commitment to stay with her. in Ruth 1:16, but Ruth said to Noah, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go." She had her mind made up. She was saying, "You know what? Stop telling me to go." It's like that dog you don't want that keeps sticking around. Yeah, and Ruth endured the pleas like, "Go and get out of here. Go back to your home." She endured. She said, man, she came from a nation that was, there was a lot of idolatry. And she was willing to say, "You know what? I don't need that." It's like how Abraham left his hometown and got uncomfortable and went to a new place. Ruth put all that idolatry behind her. She said, "You know, your people are going to be my people. Your God is going to be my God." And she was like, she was putting the past behind and looking forward to a different future. I mean, she made a complete break with the past. She made the decision, despite the encouragement to go someplace else, she made that decision, "Well, I am going to stick by your side." And I think if more couples made that choice when they got married, say, "I am going to stick by your side," I think we'd be left less divorced. You know, when we do vows and we say for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do we part, they don't take that seriously. When something happens, boom, gone. The thing is, here it is, we need to make adjustments. How many of you, since you got married, had to make adjustments to your life? My wife had to make plenty of adjustments to me. And the same way, I had to make adjustments. We had to learn, because you're living with somebody else now, it's not like me, and what I want to do, where I want to go. But we got to make adjustments. And just like the disciples who were following Jesus, they had to make major adjustments. A lot of them left their jobs to go follow Jesus. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." It's like when you follow Jesus, you got to make adjustments. When you get married, you got to make adjustments. And sometimes they're not easy, but they're good. I made adjustments. I quit smoking. That was like, yes, that was a good adjustment. I gave up fishing every single Sunday or on the weekends. I mean, because I get to be here now. And I tell you what, being here on a nice sunny Sunday morning when there's no trade winds and the water is flat, so much better being here. It really is, because I get to hang out with the best people in the world. Amen? You know, when Peter was in this time, he wanted Jesus to follow his plans, but the Lord showed him that the discipleship, following him, involves a cost. Just like any other relationship, there is a cost. Sometimes we love and we get hurt. And then we just, well, you know what? I don't want to love anymore because it's too painful. And that happened to me, but I said, too bad. I'm going to love them. I don't care how much hurt I get, because God has called me to love him and love people. Amen? And when Jesus said this to his disciples, they made adjustments. Some of them, like Levi, he put his tax collecting business on the side and he went to follow Jesus. the other guys, they left their nets and they went to follow Jesus. And look what these guys accomplished. They changed the world because they made some adjustments. And then in that supporting and making adjustments, there's got to be some sacrifice. How many of you ever been in a relationship where there was no sacrifice? And some of you may be the ones who's been giving the sacrifice, but the other party didn't, and you know what it's like. And I mean, that's a tough thing. But in any relationship, there got to be some sacrifice. Like following Jesus, there's sacrifice. Being married, sacrifice. When you have a baby, you sacrifice sleep. Right? This is what I did. When the baby cried, I said, honey, you got to feed him. I don't have the equipment. Sacrifice. Yeah, I had to elbow her to wake up. But in every relationship, there is a sacrifice. You got to give up some things. Following Jesus, being married, having children, having friends. There is sacrifice. Following God. Romans 12:2, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Someone once said, if it doesn't cost you anything, I don't think it could be called a sacrifice. Right? If it didn't cost you a thing, can you say you sacrificed it if it didn't cost you a thing? Like if Pastor Alex gave me a fish and I gave it to you, wow, that's not no sacrifice. You never caught it. You know, but if I paid for that fish and then I gave it, then I could say it's a sacrifice. But part of loving others is a sacrifice. And for me, I have learned that it's not like what I want anymore. It's not like where I want to go. And I tell you what, when I go to Oahu with my family, holy, the sacrifice of following them around at Ala Moana, man, it kills me. It really does. It kills me. But I see how happy they are. They are like they are like me in Home Depot. Like, yeah. And I follow them around with a backpack and bags, walking around, sitting outside of the pink store because I don't want to go inside there. And it's like, man. And the last time I went, I tell you, I must have walked 2-3 miles following them. It's a sacrifice because I would rather be somewhere else. But when you see the joy, it's like, wow, you know, the sacrifice is okay. Why? Because I make adjustments and sacrifice because it's not about me. And then the second thing is reach out of your comfort zone, because sometimes for us, it's so nice to stay right where we're comfortable and not do things. Ruth said, where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death separates us. Man, it's just the passion she had, the love that she had in doing this thing, and in not going back to her hometown where she was comfortable. You know, a lot of times in our relationships, we have to get uncomfortable, especially if we gotta say something that's really not pleasing. Maybe you're upset about something. And I tell you what, it is going to be so much better if you bring it out, talk about it, and solve it versus bury it and just try and hide it. And, you know, think it's all going to blow away. Yesterday, we were ready to go to town. And I was in my truck, and the engine was running, and my wife was in the house ready to come out to go. And in the process, I thought, shoot, I don't know if a car is locked. And it was right next to me. So what did I do? I pressed the lock button twice. And the car went beep. And she came up and said, what are you beeping the horn at me? It's like, what? No, I just locked your car. She was like, she was expressing her being uncomfortable with what I did. It's like, wow, talk about miscommunication. You could imagine what, because when before days, before I came to really love and serve the Lord, I would be beeping the horn, like, hurry up, we're going to be late. And when she came out of the door, it was just the timing. I pressed the button twice, beep, and then she's like, what are you beeping at me for? And I had to explain to her, no, honey, I was just locking your car. And she gave me that look like, you sure? Like, honey, I didn't beep at you in many, many years. Why would I do that now? But sometimes she got to get uncomfortable. You know, honey, put down the seat after you use the bathroom, all that kind of stuff. Make the bed and pick up your clothes. And sometimes when you're in a relationship, you got to just say be uncomfortable. Sometimes when you have a loved one and it's not really comfortable to share Jesus with them, man, you got to do it. It's not about you being comfortable anymore, but it's about because of your love for them that you're willing to say, you know what? Because when you start sharing Jesus and you're uncomfortable, man, you start to sweat. And it's really stepping out of your comfort zone. Yeah. And in this situation, Naomi saw what was going on and she stopped. She already said, you know, she stopped urging her Ruth to, you know what, go back. She said, all right, just hang out with me then. Ruth was willing to get uncomfortable because of her love and her loyalty and her commitment. And then another practical thing you can do is encourage one another. That, a word of encouragement, man, that can go so far. And if you were to encourage your spouse, your children today, what would that cost you? Would it cost you $20, $30, $50? Not really. It's not going to cost you a thing. But if you were to stop and say, wow, thank you so much. Last night, I was kind of feeling not so good, and my wife, she washed the dishes, she cleaned up the kitchen, and usually we take turns and we do it together, but she did all that. I was like, oh, honey, thank you so much. I said, I stopped her right in her tracks, and for 30 seconds, we just hugged in the kitchen, and I said, thank you so much for taking such good care of me. Now, what did that cost me? It cost me no diamond ring, but it probably carried the same weight. What would it cost you to tell your children how much you appreciate it, how much you're proud of them? This is a practical way that you can love each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. It's a command. It's one of the so-called one another's in the Bible. And if you look up the one another's in the Bible, there is a whole bunch of them. Forgive one another, love one another, encourage one another. And that's a command from the Bible. And as for people who say we follow Jesus, we should be displaying this every day, not only with our spouse, but at our workplace, to our family, to our friends, even to our enemies. You know, if you ever ran a race, you know that last mile when you're dying and you're hurting. And if it's a running race, that last mile when your lungs are on fire because you failed to train for that race, you just entered anyway because everybody else did. And that last mile when everybody's standing on the side and cheering you on, what does that do for you? I remember so clearly that year, that last year they had that 5K, the one went through the crater in Volcano. I clearly remember that race because going down in the crater, I was flying by everybody. Gravity just took a hold of me and pushed me down that hill. And then when I tried to come up that hill, boy, it was painful. And then when I ran past the steam vents, looking, you know when the steam is coming out of the ground, wow, you look, wow, step on the root, twist my ankle, and it's like, oh, shoot, I got a little bit more to go. And I'm hobbling, and then when you turn the corner and you see all these lines of people cheering you on, maybe it was the encouragement, maybe it was the pride. Suck it up, and I ran, finish strong. It's like all the girls are watching, run hard. No, just kidding. But the encouragement was like, wow, people are cheering me on, even if I am in 138th place. I think that's what I ended up finishing, something like that. Yeah, it was pretty bad. But, I mean, how hard would it be to encourage our brothers and sisters, especially our spouse, our children? And out of everything we're talking about, this is one of the best practical ways that you can love one another. And I think by far, this is the easiest one. And then number four, others first. Others first. This is a good practice because I learned in life that it's not about me. The world doesn't revolve around me anymore like it used to. Because before I came to know and love Jesus Christ and serve him, man, it was everything was about me, my money, and what I want to do, where I want to go, what I want to eat. That's why I learned how to cook. Because I want to eat what I want to eat, therefore I had to learn how to cook. Because you wouldn't catch my wife cooking me liver and onions. Not, no way. But I love liver and onions. So if I wanted to eat it, I had to cook it. And before loving God, man, it was all about me. After finding God, man, life is so different. It's not about me. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. How can you do that? Love one another as more important than yourself. That's a tough one to do. But as you go about your day, you just think, what would they want? How could I love them first? How could I love God first? How could I serve them? Nothing should be done out of selfish ambition. And so I mess up a lot with this. That's a lot of times now we fight because I say, what do you want to eat? Oh, I don't know. Up to you. Because she's trying to put me first. I'm trying to put her first. So I said, no, honey, you got to tell me what you want to eat. Because my theory is not quality, it's quantity. I want to go where there's food. And my wife wants to go where there's salad. Yeah, it's like, shoot, salad is just like exercise. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants it. You never see us at men's ministry at 5 o'clock Saturday morning eating salad. They would, if I served the men salad, they would stone me out here someplace. And you would, Sunday morning, you would come and, what's that smell? It smells like somebody dead, rotting. But see, she tries to put me first. I just try to put her first. And we fight, no, where do you want to eat? Oh, I don't care, wherever you want to eat. No, it does matter because where I want to eat, you don't want to eat. We go to Hawaiian Style Cafe. Do you have a small salad? They don't sell nothing small there. There's no little diet, skinny, plain. There's only volume, right? So I got to say, no, honey, you have to tell me where you want to eat. Because if I tell you, then you're just going, oh, I'm not so hungry, and you know, you're not going to enjoy yourself. But we fight about trying to put each other's first, and it's so funny. Yeah, we try not to do something out of selfishness, but we try just, I think that's why our marriage, I think, is really at a good point, because we try to think of the other person. And I know some days when I look in the icebox and there's no salad, I know I should bring home salad because I know that's what she wants. And we think, and she, you know, when she knows when I want a soda, and she would come home with a big Coke Zero, and she tells me, I wonder if I'm just enabling him. And it's probably, she probably is, but she knows that every so often I'd like a nice cold Coke Zero, ice cold Coke, and it's really like, ah, yeah. And when we consider others' interests as more important than ourselves, man, we connect more to Christ, who was simply all about that. It's not what I want, Father, but what you want. And if we can do these practical things, man, I tell you what, we don't have to say every 5 minutes, I love you. Of course, it's good to say, but it'll show in what we do. Amen? And another really, really good practical thing that you can show your love is listen. Man, I learned that when she comes home, I'll turn off ESPN. I don't care if it's the middle of the game. Just listen to her. I don't always do that. But I when I remember and I really consciously think, it's not, you know, she just gets home. It's time for us to have that face-to-face time. You know, listen. Look, when they're speaking to you, look into their eyes and really catch what they're trying to say. And I have so much work to do in this area, because sometimes I like to listen when I'm walking away. Yeah, I hear you. How many of you do that? I don't want to talk to somebody who's walking away from me. And I'm sure she doesn't want to talk to me when I'm walking away. But man, listen. Yeah. This is today. If you have plans to go out with your spouse, that's wonderful. If you don't, then hey, spend time together and think of the things that you can do to practically love your wife. And if it's in your means, then extravagantly love your wife. Go to the mall and to the jewelry shops and extravagantly love your wife. Somebody saying amen to that. Yeah? But the Bible says that God is love. Valentine's Day, we celebrate love. But God loves us every single day and in every single circumstance, no matter what we've done or what we're doing. Okay, you gotta remember that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may put your notes away. We're going to pray. And ask the worship team to come up. Wasn't the worship team awesome? The all-men worship team? Gosh, I was sitting in the front row crying. And real men cry. They do. And maybe you're here and you're new, or maybe you're here and you want to say, I need that love that Jesus, you know, has given to me. And I want to receive him as my Lord and Savior. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes? We're going to ask Jesus into our lives, and you could pray along with me. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? All right. Lord, thank you so much for the love that we feel from you and we see from you. Lord, may we pass that love on to everyone we come in contact with, not just today, but every single day of our lives. Let us remember what you did for us and let us do for others. Lord, thank you for those in our life that we can love and we get to love. And Lord, I pray for all of us, our relationships, that it would gain strength as we love you and we love them. Thank you for this day that we get to celebrate love and anniversaries and relationships. You have created us to be in relationships, to love others. And thank you so much that you never created us to be hermits or all alone, but to love one another. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Would you thank the Lord?
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope Christian Fellowship, East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street, Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.